Knock, in a railway, the in a silly. You're listening to the award-winning podcast.
The award-winning podcast with your hosts,
Alex
and Jace. That's me. I'm the clever, pretty one.
You're definitely the pretty one.
I'm both.
And the clever one.
And I'm hot as balls.
How hot as balls?
Balls can get hot. You heard it here first, folks.
You heard. All right, folks.
What are you talking about, Alex?
We are here to talk about the geopolitical climate of the world. Just kidding. Fuck that. We're going to talk about fantasy goddamn football.
Getting down to the important shit.
Important things.
Everything else in our lives is solved.
It is currently on hold. All of our problems, anything that...
All my shit's solved. I'm a perfect human being now.
That too. Any of the world's problems, all of it, it's all on hold because football is here, and specifically fantasy football is here.
We're going to take a page out of Trump's little booklet and just turn a blind eye to tragedy and just talk about
fucking A
things that don't matter.
MAGA. Anyway,
didn't mean to take it to a political level.
Yeah, I kind of did.
Well,
yeah, let's, you know what,
screw not that I care people.
never mind. Okay,
if I offended you, good, fuck you.
We're here to talk about fantasy football, and we're going to talk about
everything. Things that you can do this week, things that you should have done last week, things that you're kicking yourself for not doing last week, and things that you'll kick yourself for not doing this week.
So, what we're hoping is that anyone who's listening plays fantasy football, and, you know, if you're looking for a little advice, I'm probably not the guy to get it from. I know a lot of things. I know most of the things.
Some of the things.
About this particular topic.
No, you do know most of the things, and that gets in your way sometimes.
Yes.
Because you overthink shit.
100%.
I only know some of the things, and so I'm moderately successful.
Yep.
While you fall to the bottom like every year because you suck.
Yeah. So, full disclosure, I have never won the league that I run. And it's kind of a running joke because I always do pretty well. And I definitely know more than all the people in my group. They're just a bunch of idiots. Every one of them sucks.
Yeah.
But they've beaten me in fantasy football, and
yeah,
I hate them. Anyway, we're going to get away from that. And we're gonna talk about players that, you know, you drafted, you had expectations for, and they either exceeded them, met them, or fell short. Now, the degree
straight
to which they fell
men
short or exceeded them, that's where we're looking for. So, for instance, if you drafted Aaron Rodgers, which it's possible you didn't draft Aaron Rodgers. It's possible that nobody in your league drafted Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Because
if you're working with a bullshit eight-man league like we are in a couple of them, then there's a good chance that no Aaron Rodgers went undrafted.
A lot of leagues, even 10 quarterback or 10 team leagues, didn't draft Aaron Rodgers. He had a really piss poor season last year from a fantasy perspective. Obviously, he played well enough that they went 13-3 in real football, and that matters a hell of a lot more to him than your fantasy football team.
Right.
But for years before that, for literally well over a decade,
he was top three quarterback.
He was at least top three pretty much every single year, unless he was hurt. So when you drafted him last year, you had expectations. They were sky high, and they plummeted. Mm. Almost immediately, it became very clear that they were going to be a run-first team. They had a couple of good stable of backs that they liked, and that's what they were going to do. So going into this year, the expectations for Aaron Rodgers were surprisingly low, just considering who he is. And yet, this weekend, this Sunday, against the Vikings, who we all kind of expected to have a good defense because they've had a good defense for the last several years, he fucking torched
them.
Their
defense, fantasy-wise, was worth negative 2 points.
They were absolute ass, and there was nothing they could do to stop Aaron Rodgers. He made those mediocre twos and threes that he was throwing to Alan Lazard, MVS. He made them look good. They all were putting up numbers. Of course, the main man that he was hooking up with more often than not was Davante Adams, who you definitely would have drafted high because he's worth it. And he managed to exceed your expectations. He was great.
Yeah.
And
he all done 14 receptions for 156 yards and 2 scores. I mean,
yeah.
You can't ask for more than
you
that.
Really,
you can,
honestly,
but you'd be a selfish prick.
And Aaron Rodgers was unbelievable. He was he looked like the old Aaron Rodgers just from a few years ago. He made a throw on the run to his right that was just an absolute dart to Davante Adams for a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. He was just standing there, and it hit him perfectly. There was no chance for the defenders that were around him. It was brilliant. He looked great. I am officially terrified as a Bears fan.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like Rodgers of old might be back.
Yeah. So, obviously, that's a big plus. Now, the question, of course, going forward is this fool's gold, or is he going to continue to put up solid production?
Yeah, will he be reliable going forward?
I would say that until further notice, even though he was great, I think he has to be a matchup-based quarterback.
Yeah.
I think one of the main reasons he had so much success is because the Vikings, while their defense obviously looked like shit on Sunday, mostly that's in the secondary, where they don't have a lot to write home about. They lost some defensive backs in free agency, and they really didn't do much to replace them. It's a bunch of young guys, so if that's where you're going to attack their defense, it's there, because the front seven is still pretty stout.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily looking to attack through the run there. So we'll have to see if they start to face off against some teams where the run defense isn't quite up to snuff, then maybe they go right back to pounding the rock, because they do definitely want to preserve Aaron Rodgers as much as possible. Although we could also be seeing his resurgence because they drafted a quarterback in the first round this year. A lot of people felt like with a deep wide receiver class, they were going to draft a wide receiver. Surprise, surprise, they end up drafting, what's his name? Love out of college.
Mailer.
No. I wasn't college. I don't remember where the hell he went. It was like Southern California or UCLA. It doesn't matter. I don't care about him.
Yeah.
The point is, they drafted him in the first round, and you just wonder if maybe he took that as a slight, and we're seeing that revenge tour, so to speak. And that terrifies me, again, as a Bears fan. So,
yeah.
Something to watch for, something to keep in mind with all those receivers. I know they put up big numbers, but last year they did not, and that's important to remember. Okay. Obviously, Davante Adams is starting in your lineup no matter what throughout the rest of this season. That's just,
if you're in need of a quarterback and you have, you know, a running back or wide receiver that you feel comfortable dropping, you know, stick him in there. You know,
right.
To give yourself a backup, and maybe not plug him in right away, see where it goes, see how he progresses. But, I mean, there's a good chance he's going to be better than who you got if he's putting up numbers like he did.
Yeah.
4 scores is insane.
It's really, really great. So, moving on.
Want to talk about Le'Veon Bell, because he gave me a little stick in there.
Yeah.
Little bastard. Going out there just to get hurt like some kind of bitch-made sucker.
Yeah, it was, Le'Veon didn't have a good year last year. There's a variety of reasons why he didn't have a good year last year. Mostly, the offensive line is bad, the passing game is bad. And so if you can focus all of your energy on stopping Le'Veon Bell, it can be done.
Yeah. So, have you heard anything about the severity of the injury?
He's
the
on
hamstring
IR.
Hamstring injury? Yeah, he's on IR.
So for at least the next three seasons.
Yeah.
For
three weeks. Oh, my God. Yeah, I was saying 3 seasons. Sorry. Get rid of him now. That's what you're saying.
Being on IR used to mean that he was done for the season, so that kind of threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
But, yeah, obviously, if you had Le'Veon Bell, you probably didn't draft him high unless you were thinking, hey, you know what? The last time I played was 3 years ago, and this guy was top-notch.
He was usually going, what, 5, 6?
Oh, he was usually going 1 or 2.
No, I'm talking about now. Like
this, in the fifth round? Yeah.
Fifth or sixth round, maybe.
Yeah, you know, he fell pretty far, and probably deservedly so. And obviously now that he's hurt, there's all kinds of question marks. Who do you pick up as a replacement? I would argue that you don't. His backup is Frank Gore. And look, Frank Gore is going in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the all-time lead rushers. He's been playing forever. But he has not been fantasy relevant, really, since like 2012.
Right. A couple of decent games here and there, but nothing you could actually rely on to plug into a lineup.
And with that offense, I'll be honest, you don't want anyone from it. There's nobody on that Jets offense that I really want, other than maybe Jamison Crowder. Everyone else can pretty much take a hike, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I don't want anyone from it.
So there's not much to say on Bell. We're just kind of waiting to hear how the injury goes and everything.
Right.
So let's move on. How about James Conner? It was pretty disappointing.
Oh, boy, James Conner. Yesterday.
He went pretty high in the drafts and, you know, 3.7 points in our league here that I'm looking at now.
He got hurt pretty early.
Not acceptable. 9 yards on 6 attempts.
Yeah. He didn't look good anyway, but then he got hurt and ruined any chance you had of any production. And then to top it off, you know, it looks like it's an injury that's going to be at least a few weeks. And to top it off, what's his name? Benny Snell.
Yeah.
Took over and looked really
monstered
good.
Monstered it.
He looked really, really good.
Yeah, I forget the numbers, but yeah, he did well.
He had over 100 yards. I don't remember if he got a score or not, but he had over 100 yards. And, you know, take it for what it's worth because the Giants are not a good defense. But, you know, having the running back in a Ben Roethlisberger-led offense is almost always a good idea. Throughout the history of his entire career, you want a Ben Roethlisberger running back. Say what you will about Ben Roethlisberger as a player, as a person, he's a shit heel. But he is one of the all-time great quarterbacks, and he looked really good yesterday, considering he's coming off of Tommy John surgery, which, you know, for I think he's 38 years old. For a 38-year-old quarterback coming back from a major surgery, you know, for him to look as efficient and accurate and mobile as he did yesterday. He finished with 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. You know, modest yardage. I think it was like 230 yards or something like that. Nothing to write home about, but obviously you expect better things moving forward. You know, it is important to note this was the Giants' defense.
Yeah.
And the Giants' defense might be the worst in the league. Like, there's not a lot of playmakers to be found on that side of the ball.
Right.
So, you know, you got to take it all for what it is. And for all we know, Ben Roethlisberger could come out next week and just shit the bed.
It could be just some, like, it could be that he's older and there was no preseason, so he needs a bit of a warm-up.
Yeah, you never really know.
He could be right on par next week. Just a quick mention about Michael Thomas. So, Michael Thomas, he's ruled as doubtful for next week. And probably going to miss several weeks is what I'm seeing.
Like, yeah.
That's a big hit.
That's a hard hit. He very well might have been, in your draft, the only receiver to go in the first round.
Yeah.
Like, running back, everyone pretty much knew running back was going to be at a premium this year. So most people tended to steer clear of wide receivers in the first round, and they wanted to lean toward running back. But with Michael Thomas, whose production has been unprecedented since he got into the league, you wanted him. And especially coming off of a season last year where he had 149 catches.
He's always been sought after. I mean, anybody that is catching balls from Drew Brees is somebody worth looking at anyway.
Yeah, but he...
he's always been the guy.
He did not play well. He was a complete non-factor in that game against the Buccaneers. I think he ended up with like 4 points.
Right.
Like maybe a couple catches for like no yards, really. And then, like damn near the very end of the game, he got rolled up on a play by Alvin Kamara. Wow. And he hurt himself. And they're saying it's a high ankle sprain. High ankle sprain is the worst kind of sprain from everything I've ever seen all my years of playing fantasy football. Like, when you hear high ankle sprain, it destroys you inside. For those of you who might remember, just last year, Saquon Barkley, whenever he had his down season, that was mostly because of his high ankle sprain. And the main reason there, it could take forever to heal up. You never really know. There's such a varied response to the physical to the body and how it works. And it could last seriously all year, just like the lingering effects.
Wow.
Well, he's probably only going to be out for a few games, but it's something that obviously you're going to have to monitor the rest of the season, and that fucking sucks.
So who is somebody you could look to plug into that spot for Michael Thomas?
If Emmanuel Sanders is available in your league, you got to jump on him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he had 4 red zone targets last week. He ended up with a touchdown, salvaged your day a little bit. Here's the thing. I'll be honest. I want to see how this Saints offense operates before I go making any moves, because they didn't look good.
Yeah, no. And Breeze looked pretty weak out there.
He
People
did.
People were giving Tom Brady a lot of crap, but I don't think Breeze did any better.
Right. No, Breeze looked way worse to me than Tom Brady did. I know Brady threw the big picks, and that's kind of the talk of the town, but you know, I still saw zip on the passes he was throwing. I still saw, you know, power down the field with his arm. Drew Brees didn't look like he could throw more than 10 yards down the field. His arm was just completely noodle limp. He looked terrible. So I'm a little concerned just about that offense in general. Because Kamara, you know, he's going to get his numbers. He put up touchdowns. That saved his day because his yardage totals were weak. And, you know, look, the Buccaneers defense, it's actually not bad. It's not a bad defense. They've been bad for so long, but it's not terrible. And I guess we'll see. Maybe they just need, you know, no, we've said it again, you know, no preseason. Maybe they just need a little time.
Yeah.
But I want to see it, and I definitely want to see how this offense operates without Michael Thomas.
Yeah, definitely.
So, well, definitely, it's obviously something to keep an eye on. If you drafted him, it sucks. There's other guys out there that I think maybe you're looking at. So let's actually talk about that. Let's talk about
I was thinking maybe Darius Slayton. He might be available in a lot of leagues, and he had a big game yesterday.
He did have a really big game, and he had some big games last year. Especially if Golden Tate's not in, he was kind of, I don't know how long people knew he was going to be scratched for, but to me, he was kind of a surprise scratch last night going into the game.
Right. But even with Golden Tate out, you would expect the ball more towards Shepard.
Yeah.
And he didn't really get many looks.
Yeah, no,
it seemed to be more about Slayton.
He had a much, much weaker day. He was mostly just underneath kind of stuff. And I think part of that probably was they were putting Minkah Fitzpatrick on him, the Steelers were. And Fitzpatrick might not be a household name yet, but he's a guy that they traded for from the Dolphins last year. And ever since that point, they went from being kind of a mediocre defense to a really good defense. Mm. And yesterday, they performed like the best defense in the league. And they had Fitzpatrick all over Sterling Shepard. I'm just guessing, just a hunch, that's probably why his production was so much lower. And
maybe that's probably where the focus would be.
Darius Slayton has all the talent you could really ask for. He's got the size, the height. He's like 6'3". He's got speed, good hands, runs good routes. He looks like a star in the making. And, football-wise, the Giants should be super excited about him. Fantasy-wise, you have to wonder, how consistent is this production going to be?
Exactly.
Especially
whenever Golden Tate does come back.
Right. So if the targets are there, he's definitely a guy to have. And if you're in a situation where you had Michael Thomas, you're definitely looking his way. You have to go looking at him.
Yeah, definitely.
Another guy who, I'm going to sound like a homer here, but I don't care, Anthony Miller with the Chicago Bears.
Oh, yeah.
He had a big game.
He's worth a look no matter who you
are. He had a big game. I mean, it was really more of a big fourth quarter, but toward the stretch there, when Mitchell Trubisky was looking for someone on for big plays, he was the guy.
Yeah.
And Miller delivered with a game-winning touchdown. It was like a 30-yard pass.
He caught like at least 5 passes and like somewhere around 70 yards.
I think he had 4 catches for 70-something yards.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's 11 points right there if you're in a PPR league, which you should be if you're not. And
right.
You know, then a touchdown.
To me. I don't know if I would like a non-PPR league.
It kind of sucked. I've been
especially being in one for so long and going back, you'd feel robbed every week.
Yeah, honestly. But yeah, he's another guy to maybe take a flyer on. Hopefully you've got a little better depth that you don't have to necessarily start him until you see him do it a little more consistently.
Right.
But if you're in desperation mode and you have to plug him in,
and I kind of was, I feel a little confident. Mode. You know, I started the season out with Kenny Golladay, who missed
right
the game.
Yeah,
and couple other people. Well, yeah, obviously Bell gets injured during the game, and so, you know, I'm robbed of that player now. I mean, there's a few different players on my team that I'm just not too confident in.
Right.
And some people I'm pretty excited about, but, you know, like, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the in-depth knowledge that you have of the game, so, I mean, I just got to go on gut feelings based on outside factors rather than the way they actually play football. Like, right. This guy's good looking, so he looks like he might be a good talent. You know, the guys I was in school with who were athletes tend to be better looking than me, so. And that's kind of how it is. I'm like a girl who picks her favorite team because of the color costumes that they wear. George Kittle.
Oh, boy.
What's up with him? Is he going to put... He's questionable, but he's got a projection. He's projected at 16.2, and if he doesn't get that, I'm going to be mad.
Kittle is a very... he's a very tough player. He's one of those guys who... He can take a lot of abuse, take a lot of punishment. He stays in the games. And, you know, he's a old-school guy that way. This is an injury to be concerned about, obviously, because if you have Kittle, you reach to get him.
Right.
You went high for tight end, and you got him.
He was like my second pick, I think.
Yeah, so he's one of those guys that you got him in the second or third round. If you're really lucky, you got him in the fourth. Either way, compared to most tight ends.
He's 28th overall, but that's after our keepers.
Right. So like, he's a guy that if you had him, you had to spend to get him, and now you're in a situation where you maybe don't have depth in other parts of the bench to fill in. I will say,
I got Jack Doyle backing me up, and he might be good for a score here and there, but man, he's no Kittle.
Right. Funny you mentioned Doyle, because I think Doyle is a guy that if he's out there on the waiver wire, you probably need to take a look at him. Look, Philip Rivers is in town in Indianapolis now, and that's evident because we saw a passing game last week for them that was well over 300 yards.
He has a history of looking at the tight end a lot.
And he does. I mean, hell, who was his first number one receiver, if you can think back that far?
Gosh, was it Gates?
It was Antonio Gates.
Yeah.
And he didn't have any other real wide receivers, but he had Antonio Gates, and he loved looking his way.
That's somebody you want on your team.
Absolutely. And, hell, you don't even have to look back that far. Hunter Henry, the last few seasons, if he's been healthy, he puts up good numbers, and Philip Rivers likes going to them. He likes going to his running backs. He likes going to his tight ends. He feels comfortable there. Philip Rivers is going to spread it out. He's going to throw a bunch of passes everywhere. That's just kind of what he is. And he's a very fantasy-friendly quarterback. Another guy that might be out there for you if you're looking for a quarterback, which you shouldn't be at this point, but if you are, he might be a guy to look at as well.
Yeah.
Speaking of receivers from Indianapolis, if you're still looking for receiver depth, another guy to look at, Paris Campbell.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at him right now, actually.
He had, I think he had double-digit targets. He ended up with, I think, six catches.
Six receptions, 71 yards.
Yeah, so, I mean, nothing to write home about, but you got to love those targets. You got to love the fact that he's getting the yards. And, honestly, if that's his floor, just imagine what his ceiling could be.
And he rushed once for 9 yards, too.
He is an all-around explosive athlete. They're going to look to get him the ball. I do think that this might signal the end of T.Y. Hilton, who, by the way, disappointed quite a bit in the opening week, especially considering how many yards Philip Rivers did.
That was something I wanted to get to eventually. Do you think he'll bounce back, or is he?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, Hilton is pretty consistent. You just wonder about the chemistry. And also, you have to wonder, he is old. He's getting up there in age.
He might be getting discouraged to see somebody like a young Paris Campbell coming out there and doing his job better than
him. Hilton's a competitor. If anything is going to happen with that, I would expect that he's going to be even more motivated.
I gotta say, his little biopic here, he looks old.
Well, I mean, he's not young. Yeah. As far as for an NFL wide receiver, he is not a young man anymore.
Right.
But obviously, he's still been one of the best receivers, especially for fantasy purposes, for a while now. Obviously, you don't want to give up on him, but he's another one of those guys that you need to take a look at the matchup. Everyone probably would have thought that last week was a good matchup against Jacksonville, who is ass. But, you know, things tend to work out. I'm not panicking on him. I'm not panicking on anything. Another note from Indianapolis, a big note, Marlon Mack.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking of another guy from Indianapolis here, but yeah.
Yeah, because Marlon Mack got hurt, tore his Achilles. He's done for the season. That leaves the rookie, Jonathan Taylor, who they drafted out of Wisconsin, I think in the second round. He's super talented, had a pretty decent game, six catches, and, you know, nothing huge, but he was in the double digits. And, you know, the thing about that is, though, there's a guy who's going to be out on the waiver wire for the most part, I would assume, who had an even bigger day.
Yeah.
In Nyheim Hines.
Right. That's a big, big day. Only seven attempts for 28 yards, but a score there. And receiving-wise, I mean, he got eight targets, 45 yards, and a score. So he was a bigger target for his quarterback than most of the wide receivers.
Right. He was... So he had eight catches and 45 yards, and he got involved in the run game. That's what I take away from that. I do not expect Nyheim Hines, a little scat back, receiver back. I don't expect him to score a ton of touchdowns.
Right.
So if you're expecting him to come out there and repeat what he did last week,
right,
I'd
he's
say
not. He's not going to be a two-score game, you know, on average kind of play.
But he'll be a very respectable flex for you if
exactly.
you can scoop him. Right. He should produce kind of like James White did forever with Tom Brady. He's going to be one of those guys that catches a lot of passes because Phillip Rivers does throw a lot of passes. And if he's the pass catching back, just think, you know, maybe a discount Austin Eckler from last year. That's what we could be looking at, potential upside. He's got to be one of those top targets on your free agency ads this week. Another guy who should be up at the top of the list is Malcolm Brown of the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
I have him ranked as my number one ad if he's available. He's not in our league because I had him before. But he looked like the back you want out of that backfield. And look, I'm not going to say he's Todd Gurley because he's not Todd Gurley.
Oh, man. Those are big shoes.
But if he can have that Todd Gurley role and get that those kind of touches, because he was also involved in the passing game. He had three catches for 30 yards.
Huh.
You know? He's a big back. They're going to use him in the goal line situation. This is an offense that gets to the red zone. They get within scoring distance a lot.
Yeah.
They have a fast-paced
offense.
They're
a very offensively based team.
They have a...
They rely on that offense a lot more than they do the defense.
It's a high-octane offense. They score a lot of points. But their receivers have not been giant, you know, touchdown scorers. So it's not necessarily the passing game that gets it. It's been the running game more often than not. And, you know, I mean, Todd Gurley had 20 touchdowns in like two consecutive years or something like that. And now you've got someone who's got to take over that role and score touchdowns. He's the guy that's getting those carries. So even if he doesn't necessarily fill in, because Cam Akers got a lot of snaps.
Yeah.
But he didn't do much with them. And
right.
Malcolm Brown played extremely well with those.
With the time he got,
yeah,
he killed it.
He was great. So he's number one for me on the waiver wire. You have to scoop him up if he's out there. He could potentially be a league winner this year. I'm not even just saying that because I have him. But, again, if you're getting somebody who's filling in that Gurley role, he could potentially be a top 10 back and potentially even sneak into the top five.
What about Adrian Peterson? Do you have the confidence to scoop him up if you need a flex play?
Look, if I'm picking up Adrian Peterson, I'm desperate.
Yeah.
I'm very desperate. There's three backs in that system. They drafted DeAndre Swift pretty high. I know he had that big drop at the end of the game, but he saw a lot of snaps. And they're not going to give up on him after one game. They have Kerryon Johnson, who they were very high on, you know, previous years. He's just had injuries. And, you know, obviously Adrian Peterson. Hell, I think they even still have Bo Scarborough. Look, he looked great. He looked really, really good, especially considering he couldn't have possibly been in practice for more than just like a handful of days at that point.
Right.
But he looked great, and he looked like the old Adrian Peterson. Who knows? Maybe they just start handing him the rock way more often. It's too many. It's too many cooks in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. If you're in complete desperation mode, I understand scooping him up, but I would avoid him if possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just trying to look at one of the deeper leagues, one of the mock drafts I did.
Right.
Just trying to see who is available in that one because, you know, most of our leagues, or I think all of them are 8-man right now, aren't they?
No, we have 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Chunky's 10, that's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, since you and Paul were behind on picks, it went a
little, we had to scoop up a lot,
a little bit deeper than normal. So
that's why
I'm just looking at the people on average. And I wanted to talk about Jimmy Graham because for some reason I'm getting that tickle. Like, he was so great in New Orleans. It's like, where did that talent just does it disappear like that? I mean, you've watched more football than I have. I mean, you've probably seen a lot more. Does somebody as good as Jimmy Graham was not, like, terribly long ago? Football-wise, yeah, it's a long time ago. But, I mean, he's still a powerful athlete. He can go out there and do it. And I think he could have had a lot better game if he wasn't failed so horribly by Mitch Trubisky.
No, I mean, you're not wrong.
There's just something in me that wants me to grab him.
So, okay. He's never going to put up the type of production that he had in New Orleans. And you don't have to expect that from him at this point.
You shouldn't have to expect that from the tight end spot.
Yeah, period. Like, there's
the tight end
just
spot
a handful of guys that can
good
do
for
that.
More than 15 points.
There's only a handful of guys that can do
you're
that.
Looking
you're talking
12
Travis
points
Kelce,
on a
George
good day
Kittle.
For a tight end.
So when you're looking for a tight end, you're basically kind of praying for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Most of the time, depending on how deep your league is.
Right, you're hoping he can get you to double digits and praying for a touchdown.
I will say, it's a pretty deep tight end roster this year as far
as...
Yeah,
there
has
been
find some guys
on tight ends.
But as far as Graham goes, look, they're not going to use him a whole lot. They weren't targeting him a ton, but when they did target him, it was in the red zone.
Yeah.
And, you know, Trubisky missed him a few times, but he was in the red zone. So that tells me when they get to that spot and they're, you know, on the goal line, they might not necessarily look to hand it off to David Montgomery or anything like that. They don't have your typical power back.
Right.
But they do have a 6'7" tight end who can still jump.
You got a building you can throw to.
So why not give a little shot at him? Mm-hmm. I do think that he's a guy who potentially could score double-digit touchdowns this year. I just, you know, you wonder about his yardage. If he can give you 3 catches a game for 45 yards and then a bonus touchdown every other game, why wouldn't you put him in your lineup?
Right.
You know, depending on what you got. Especially if you got Kittle this week.
Yeah.
But if you're going to talk tight ends.
Exactly. I was just going to say, we got to talk about Dallas Goedert.
Dallas Goedert, who was, you know, he's the number 2 tight end for Philadelphia, but he was the number 1 tight end overall in fantasy this week.
Yeah.
He was easily the number
1. 24.1 points, and that's in that deep league with the different scoring.
That's the standard scoring. He got 24 points. So that tells you just how great he was. He had, what, 8, 9
receptions? 101 yards and 1 score.
Yeah. You know, and look, Zach Ertz caught a touchdown, but he only had like 18 yards. And
yeah, very short yardage. Yeah, like 2 receptions, like 18 yards
now,
or something.
I am one, if I'm, right now, if I'm choosing between either of those tight ends, I'm choosing Ertz just because he has the track record. I do think that Washington's defense is a lot better than anyone thought that they were. And that's part of the reason why they were able to upset the Eagles.
Yeah.
But I think that they probably focused most of their energy on stopping Ertz, especially since most of the wide receiver core for the Eagles is hurt.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you focus a ton of effort on stopping Ertz? That said, Goddard got open.
He did.
And they love him.
If he can get the ball to him 8 times, then obviously he's going where he needs to go.
They like him. They've liked him for a while. They drafted him in like the 2nd round. They, you know, even though they had a tight end, they liked him enough that they were willing to bring him in and understand the weapon. Now, look, in the time that I've been playing fantasy football, there's only been 1 time where a team carried 2 valuable tight ends that you could start every week. And that was when they had Rob Gronkowski with the Patriots. And, of course, the murderer, Aaron Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
Before he was a murderer, he was a really productive tight end. And they used him in a variety of ways. That's the only time that's ever worked. As far as every single week starting one of these 2 tight ends from the same team.
Yeah.
That could happen this year.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see it. I've always had an affinity for the tight ends. Like, I was trying to... You know, so I was trying to get the position of tight end in high school, my junior year, whenever I dislocated my leg. I was, you know, running so hard to get that 40-yard time as low as I could that I dislocated my leg because my body's made of fucking pudding.
Yeah. The major factor here is the receiver core for the Eagles is not getting better anytime soon. You know, Alshon Jeffrey could come off of, I think he's on IR, he could come off in like week three or
not
week
yet,
four.
Anyway, he's still listed as out.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know the situation with him, but here's the thing. Alshon Jeffrey has not been a reliable target in years. He right. just always hurt. And, you know, DeSean Jackson's in his mid-30s, and he's another guy who's usually banged up. And frankly, when he's on the field, he has value sometimes because there are those games where he'll catch four passes and one of them's a 50-yarder for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a you're shooting for a lottery pick there.
Yeah.
I think that if you're looking for the consistent targets, the one guy you want is Ertz, and the second guy, if I'm being completely honest, Dallas Goedert.
Yeah.
And this is an offense that has Carson Wentz at quarterback, and I know you can have your feelings toward him if you want. He's been a productive fantasy quarterback. He puts up good numbers.
It kind of... He didn't screw me because I ended up winning this week because I'm better at fantasy football than Alex. But so I had Matt Ryan starting, but I like Carson Wentz matchup better. So I plugged him in and he gets less than 20 points while I have to watch Matt Ryan throw for over 400 yards and two touchdowns.
Yep.
That's painful. But that's the world of fantasy football. It was 450 yards.
Yeah, it was a really massive game.
Yeah.
But point being, you know, the Eagles' offense is a good offense, is a good system, and if they can find
going
a way
up
to...
against the Washington football team, almost said it. Going against the Washington football team, you'd expect it to be a little bit more one-sided than it was.
Right.
Well, it wasn't even a one. That's the way, the wrong way to phrase it because they lost.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
you expected a different outcome. You expected the Eagles were going to take care of business, and it wasn't going to be even close.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise, the Washington football team came out of nowhere, and they played really well. So,
and in large part to Adrian Peterson. But
no.
That's probably fluke. No? He had some big...
Adrian Peterson did for Washington?
Oh, no, I was last year. Getting my games confused. My teams, in my years, yeah, I've had a lot of head injuries. Because of fantasy football.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
But I want to talk about Robbie Anderson because he was somebody I had on my bench that I don't think is going to be sitting around in a lot of leagues. I don't think there's going to be a lot of ownership there.
Oh, well, you know, I think he was probably going at latest around round 10.
Really?
Yeah, it's hard to say.
He was 106th overall.
It was kind of a back and forth. Sometimes you saw him drafted, sometimes maybe you saw him drafted fairly high. The talent level's there. He's put up big numbers with the Jets before. Now he's with the Panthers. Teddy Bridgewater throwing the ball. Not necessarily conducive to his skill set because Robbie Anderson is a deep threat, but he's a speedster. And they're going to find ways to put the ball in his hand, and there's going to be times where he puts up those big numbers.
Right.
This could be
15 yards on 6 receptions.
In his career, he's been more of a Deshaun Watson type in that he's boom or bust. You know, there's going to be those games where he has the big numbers, and then there's going to be those games where he has
the most frustrating kind of player in fantasy football.
Those are the type of players I try to avoid like the plague.
40-point game, 5-point game, 5-point game, 40-point game.
I've had Deshaun Jackson so many times in my fantasy football career that I cannot fucking stand having that guy anymore.
Yeah, me either. There's a few of them like that. They don't quite leap to mind right now. Maybe I'm trying to fucking repress those memories or something.
But. Just like any other wide receiver for the Saints in the last two decades, whether Michael Thomas or Marquise Colston. So those are most of the guys that I'd be looking for on the waiver wire if I could get them.
Probably not looking for a defense or a kicker.
I would argue that you're probably looking for a defense if you're smart. Because fact is, most people, if you're a good fantasy football player, you waited on defense and you didn't necessarily care that the Bills or the Steelers were getting screwed up.
Unless you have.
So you're maybe Steelers streaming, which I'm streaming in like every league I'm in because, I don't know what to believe in defensively this year. I just don't see anything that really stands out. The Steelers look great, but again, are they worth taking early when you could potentially have grabbed like a Malcolm Brown, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somebody out there who has major value could end up being like a league winner. Defenses usually don't do that.
No.
But there are going to be defenses out there that have good matchups.
Yeah, like the Cardinals in Washington. The Cardinals against Washington are projected at 12 points, but you know, like we were just talking about, the Eagles were projected to beat them.
Yeah, I had the Eagles. I picked up the Eagles in multiple leagues and put them in because I'm expecting they're going to absolutely destroy the Washington football team.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. Now, a lot of that was because of good field position, because the Eagles turned the ball over a bunch, and then the Washington was able to take advantage and score. Yeah. But, look, I'm not expecting that Washington's going to come out and be a juggernaut and put up a bunch of points by any stretch. Obviously, it's kind of scary because they did, you know, just do that against the Eagles defense, which on paper to me seems like it should be a better defense than the Cardinals.
Right.
But the defense just held down the Niners to a paltry offensive showing. Now, the Niners, they're not a great offense right now because they're lacking in wide receiver, but still, it's worth noting that the Cardinals did hold their own, and they do seem to be more of a turnover-friendly defense. It's worth a spot start.
Who I'd look more at would be the Bears. Their matchup against the Giants.
I'm not thrilled about that one.
Really?
Well, we
as
didn't look
piss poor as the Giants looked. But I mean, as against
they
look
bad defensively.
And that's, you know, the number one.
Yeah.
Their offense, I didn't really see much to get excited about there.
So, you remember how the Bears got gashed by a 57-year-old Adrian Peterson just a week ago?
Yeah.
They're playing against Saquon Barkley this week.
Yeah, that's true.
Saquon, Daniel Jones, he's put up some decent numbers. Slayton, Sterling Shepard, Evan
they
Ingram.
They got to be communicating, though, and it just seems like it wasn't there last time.
Again, I think the Steelers' defense is way better than the Bears' defense at this point.
Well, yeah.
I'm not saying don't get the Bears. Chances are they're not on the waiver wire. Someone drafted them for the most part, just because the name value, you expect Khalil Mack, all that kind of stuff. If they're out there, sure, maybe take a swing. They don't have a great schedule coming up. The Giants aren't a great matchup. There's other matchups that I'm looking at that I think might be better.
Maybe Titans, Jacksonville?
Yeah. That's one that I've been looking at. Jacksonville, I know that they had a nice game, but to me that's fool's gold. Their team is just bad, and I fully expect the Titans to come out there and just roll them with their running game. But then again, everyone expected Jacksonville to lose week one, so what do we know?
Right.
If you're looking for kickers, fuck kickers.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to look through the defenses. Really, I mean,
there's
really
not a whole lot.
Right.
To begin the year, it's really hard to tell.
Whoever's playing the Jets, if they're out there.
If you're playing, if you can find someone
Miami.
Playing the Jets. Mostly just look at the Jets.
Yeah, just look at the Jets. So screw the kickers and everything. I'm surprised that Trubisky's coming up as one of the top overalls and everything. He had a great game fantasy-wise there in the last 6 minutes of the game.
Right.
But it's just funny to see, like, we recommend drafting him as somebody who's had him before.
Yeah.
You'll have your games, but you just never know when.
Yeah.
Either 30 or fucking 12 every game.
If you're in a two-quarterback league, he's a guy to look at, honestly, especially against the Giants defense.
Yeah.
If you're doing daily fantasy,
exactly.
That's, you know, FanDuel, DraftKings, whatever, like, he'd be a great pick because he's going to be toward the bottom in terms of price.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, he's going up against a defense that's just not very good.
High ceiling, low floor.
Yeah.
And you can get
low. It's a low floor for sure.
Yeah.
He could come out and he could throw for 5 interceptions. That hasn't really been him. For all of the knocks on him, he doesn't throw that many interceptions. He's just not an accurate passer with the ball.
Yeah. People just remember Cutler. And Cutler threw a lot of interceptions.
Cutler threw a ton of interceptions. Trubisky's been pretty good with the ball. He might be worth a pickup in some of those deeper leagues and whatnot, but yeah, other than that, stay away, especially if they're pissing off Allen Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
That's a story for another time.
Yeah, if he's going to be down a receiver, well, at least mentally.
Right. But that should just about cover it.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot we could talk about as far as other players and this. I mean, you talk about disappointing starts. You could talk about Saquon Barkley last night. You know, he had, 6 yards on 15 carries?
Very, very bad to watch whenever you have him in your starting lineup.
Well, everyone who has him. has him in their starting lineup. It doesn't matter what the matchup is. You have to start him because you draft him at 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. There is no chance in most leagues he fell to you past that.
No.
And he was a guy
he should have been the second pick numbers. In most.
In my mind, he was number one. Yeah. I believe in his talent that much. But obviously that was disappointing. If you are thinking about trading him, please be in our league and trade him to me.
And if you have Miles Sanders,
oh my God,
don't drop him because he was out for a game.
Oh my God!
Like somebody we know, La Bamba.
Is
that that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, La Bamba.
Yeah, we had somebody drop Miles Sanders, who would have been a top one or two, like a first or second round pick.
Top five running back.
They dropped him immediately once he was hurt on Sunday.
Yeah.
So that'll be a fun waiver wire pickup for somebody.
I know there's probably 7 people that already made their claim for it.
Yeah. So not great for certain people, obviously.
If you drafted somebody in one of the first few rounds and they had a disappointing game, don't get rid of them unless they're out for the season.
Right.
Hold on to them, see what they do, see if they bounce back.
Relax.
They probably will.
Chill the fuck out. Like, there's so many people that were ready to give up on everybody just because they performed bad.
Look, Tom Brady plays one game in Tampa Bay, and he's the worst quarterback ever.
He's weak.
Even though he had 2 scores and, 230 yards, but he threw 2 interceptions. But he's an old man, so give him...
And he still gave you a decent fantasy production.
Yeah, yeah, he still had...
I think we saw his absolute floor.
Yeah, that's the worst he's going to do. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So yeah, chill the hell out. Don't go dropping everybody. Don't go trading people away. Give it a couple of weeks. Trust me. I am one of the worst at heeding that advice.
Huh.
I will turn around and sell everything I got if I can.
Yeah.
I'm not great when it comes to patience.
I got football players.
But yeah. Other than that should do it. I'm going to go ahead and try and cut this short because we've already gone on for a long time.
Yeah, longer than we planned on.
Right, so thanks for listening again. If you have any questions about fantasy football, just know that I'm not an expert by any stretch, but I'm a person with zero life at all, and I'm constantly thinking about this kind of stuff and looking into it. Send me a message, hit me up on Facebook, whatever it is. I'll probably respond because I have no friends.
Don't ask me because I'll just put my foot in my mouth and think that Adrian Peterson is still playing for the Washington football team.
Yeah, but that's a fair mistake.
Yeah. I just watched the game that he destroyed us anyway. All
right. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Go Bears.
Go Bears.
Go Alligator Fuckhouse.
No. Go Gridiron Rapist.